you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM. Community radio for the North State.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KC. CNR.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You are joining We the People Radio just a little bit late. Had some technical issues.
I like the way you say that.
Okay, it was tardiness.
Yeah.
It was group tardiness. Nothing better than group tardiness.
I was on time. I was a writer.
Actually, yeah, you were on
time. I got in the car when it was ready to go.
Okay, how's this? You know how lots of times it's the dog ate your homework? How's this, Bob? Dog fell down the storm drain.
You're kidding.
No. He's kind of got a little... You know, he's old and he's a little spasticated.
He's a little shaky.
He is. He's really shaky. So anyway, he decided to shake his head. Well, it threw him off the sidewalk and he started to slide down the storm drain.
Oh, my God.
I know. The rear end of him was stuck in the storm drain and the harder he tried to get out and the more I pulled him, the more he started sliding in. I thought he was actually going to fall down the storm drain. It was not good. It was not good.
Where was this?
in our neighborhood, like right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He would have fit, too. He would have slid right down there.
Yeah, anyway. It was like, you know,
the good thing is he never would have known it.
Took me a half hour to go around the block. Bill's like, where have you been? I'm like, oh, I just went around the block. Yeah.
Went around the block, down the storm drain, back.
Went around the block. So next time you look down the storm drain and you wonder if, your dog will fit down there. Yeah, your dog will fit down there.
How did you rescue him?
Well, it's like, you know, the back of him was sliding down the storm drain, and so I had a hold under his front arms, and I'm pulling him, but he's, like, struggling. Well, the more he struggled, the more he, like, kind of inched himself down the storm drain.
He had a leash on, right?
Yeah, but he had, like, a little harness around his face that
would have been a
like, pop off in 3 seconds. Yeah, anyway. What a knucklehead. And, of course, you can't really explain it. It's like, stop struggling, right? No, he's stuck, so he's struggling. Anyway, that's what I was doing this morning. What the rest of you, what was your excuse?
My excuse? I was waiting for
your driver was late. Okay. All right. Forget you. Bob?
I had a
anything,
good one.
Anything noteworthy happening to you this morning?
None whatsoever.
It's like, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Top that. Huh? Of all the years and all the reasons to be late, that's, I think, probably the best one yet. Oh, my gosh. So let's see. Bill, you're supposed to like tell people all our stuff, but you never do.
I know. I'm not very good at that.
You're like, I'm going to do it. And now you just sit over there like a mute. What's going on? So let's see. We the People Radio does this roughly version of this every Sunday morning, somewhere between 8 and 8:15.
Oh, but
yes,
we're going to be guest.
But there's more.
We're going to be guest hosting. What, another couple of weeks?
Oh, I already forgot
Boy,
about that.
Are they in for a surprise there?
Well, no, I think it's on the 15th.
We have to be on time on that one.
It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, too. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, we will be doing that. Bill's in charge of getting guests and lining up that program, so I would tune in that day. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great show.
He is on his own. Join us online. I forgot to do that, Bart. I'm sitting here staring at my email. That's not really going to help me. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Poor Robert. He's... He gets suckered into being our webmaster. It seems like every time I tell him we're doing a show, we're not doing that show. That's next week. So he has a show prepared for next week. Hopefully we're going to have Rick Frost on next week. And we're going to be talking about the Klamath Dam situation.
That's right.
There's all those agreements up there. And I guess it does affect people who don't live in that area just because – it's a big environmental push. It involves the tribes. It involves, you've got Senator Wyden up there out of Oregon that keeps saying that he's going to write a bill. And California's working on a water bond that has money in it for dam removal. And so it's really, there are lots of facets to that. And we'll probably dig into it a little bit today with our guest, Debbie Bocciacalupi. So we're noticing, speaking of Debbie Bocciacalupi, her folks live up in Siskiyou County, and she's up there quite a bit right at the moment. I think she's in Wisconsin at a wedding. But there's a lot less smoke up there this morning.
Well, I don't think that fire's out. It must be blown up.
It must be going the wrong way or something.
It was getting smoky last night.
Hopefully they're doing better up there, so we were worried about that. So WeThePeopleRadio.us is the web address. You can click the Listen Live button. And that'll take you to the chat room. And if you click the Listen Live button on any of the other shows in the archive, maybe it just says Listen. I don't know, whatever it is. Click the button, the yellow button, and it'll play for you shows that we've already done. You can send them to your friends and family, get them educated. And chat room's usually pretty fun, actually. And for those of you that got discouraged and quit participating with the chat room because every time you clicked the button, you were in one all by yourself. We were running like some kind of weird parallel universe thing there for a long time.
I was busy talking to myself.
Yeah, that appears to be cured. So got folks on there this morning. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and if anybody's out there in those fire areas, want to call in and give us an update, give us a call.
That would be
cool.
I know
you've probably got your hands full if you're in the fire area, but...
Yeah. But it's good to know what's going on. And, of course, we all knew it was coming. I was emailing back and forth with Ray Haupt. He was furious, 30 years in the Forest Service.
Oh, I bet he is.
You know, watching the fuels build up, and everybody knew what was going to happen. So you get a lightning strike, and, you know, the trees that the environmentalists have been hugging are all burned up. So, of course, that's a much better use of them than—
There's a huge fire going east of Redding right now. It looks like every night it looks like there's an A-bomb went off up there. Huge, 30,000-foot, look like
thunderheads. I forget what they called it. What do they call those? They don't call them A-bombs, but it's kind of like that.
They're big A-bomb thunderheads. That's the technical term for it.
All right,
meteorological experience.
Meteorological.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Phone number here, just in case anybody cares. It's Sunday morning. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but it's 530-605-4567. And I think we have Debbie on the phone.
Hello.
Hey. How are
Hello.
Hello. See, it's like 2 hours later. She's all awake. We just got done explaining to people that the dog got stuck in the storm drain this morning and kind of made us late. And, you know, anyway, we had some stuff.
Is this the dog that bit you?
No. The dog that bit me, he lived happily ever after. He's smart enough not to fall down the storm drain. The nice dog. No, he got stuck in the storm drain.
The dog that bit her is actually the very nice dog now. It's almost like he realizes he's on... He's on borrowed time.
Yeah, man.
One more wrong move, and
no, it was Gus, and God love him, but he got like some kind of vertigo or something, and after he snapped out of that, he's never been quite right, and he has no balance, and he's just
yeah. We call him Lefty because he kind of leans to the left and walks the circle sometimes.
Really bad.
When he gets tired.
Kind of goes in a little circle a lot and
eats on the left side only.
Poor boy. Yeah. I can hear the veterinarian. His quality of life is low. You should consider putting him to sleep.
It's not low though. He's very entertaining.
But he's happy.
He is happy.
He does know.
When he gets really excited, he just runs in faster circles. I mean, he likes it.
Jumps up and down, falls down. Anyway. Always fun. So, how's life in Wisconsin? How was the wedding?
So I went to J.D. King and Catherine LeClaire's wedding last night.
Yeah,
or
we
yesterday.
Know J.D.
It was a... Yeah. Pardon?
I said we know J.D. He's been on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crying Wolf movie and also Blue Beats Green, which Siskiyou County is featured in quite a bit throughout his latest documentary. And I'm actually staying with some of Catherine's relatives right now, the Demlers, in a beautiful home in a beautiful suburban neighborhood with gorgeous yards and gorgeous homes. And I was just telling them that their house is unsustainable because it's just the two of them in this gorgeous, gorgeous home. So under Agenda 21. So I've been giving them an earful. I hope they're okay with me giving them an earful.
It sounds very, very wasteful.
Well, there's an air show going on right now. So I thought the wedding would, you know, started at 2:30 yesterday. And I was thinking, oh, it's, you know, be 4 or 5 hours and at the most, and actually ended up going past 10:30. Corinne Demler and I left last night around 10, and it was still ongoing. So, you know, a long wedding. And JD and Catherine said, you came all the way out here. I was going to leave and start heading north because I've never been to Wisconsin, and it's gorgeous. And I was going to head north and try and find a hotel. Well, I did not know this air show was going on. And the closest hotel I could find to the wedding was about 2 hours away.
Oh,
and about
my gosh.
$300.
Yikes.
And while I was talking to you and Aaron, and I was outside on this deck, this kind gentleman, Terry Demler, heard my woes about a hotel, and he said, well, why don't you come stay with my wife and me? We've got an extra room. And I was like, what? Are you kidding? So anyway, just such kind, generous people here. Yeah. And it was a lovely wedding.
Well, it was still going last night at, what, like 7 o'clock or something? Well, it was 9 your time.
Yeah. But hotels are just booked because of this. I think it's I can't remember if Terry said it's the world largest air show, but it's, or the U.S. largest air show. But
what town
anyway,
is that in?
Oshkosh.
Oshkosh, okay.
So we're in Sheboygan Falls right now. And where the air show is in Oshkosh, so hour and a half, I think, away from here, somewhere about that. But I was going to head north yesterday, and because I didn't know how long the wedding was going to be, and I thought, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And anyway, JD and Catherine said, you're not leaving. You know, their family's super talented on both sides. They're all homeschooled Christians. They sing, they play violins, they play guitars, just such talent. And so anyway, they said, get a hotel down the street. Well, Aaron, while I was talking to you, I was also searching for hotels, and there was nothing. So anyway, but it was a beautiful wedding. they had, JD was crying. It was so neat. He's just so in love with Catherine. It is just so neat to see two people so in admiration and adoring each other. And just a sweet, sweet, very creative wedding, very community. It was in a big barn. And just gorgeous, and fun, and everything happened in the same room. So it's kind of like one of our events, Aaron, where we're shifting rooms as things go along. But
that's
Keith,
awesome.
I told Chris, and you remember Chris when we showed Blue in Reading?
Yeah.
Chris is Catherine's brother, and I said, hey, Chris, why don't you come on the show with me tomorrow? And he's like, are you kidding? I've got so much to do. But they were going to do their next documentary was going to be on the wildfires and how the government mismanagement of the forests are causing these causing wildfires to go to the next level of and if Ray was on the phone he could tell me what the next level was, but anyway, or Danielle Lindler. And while JD was in Las Vegas at the recent International Climate Change Convention, which are the climate deniers, my kind of people.
It's a good kind of climate change conference.
Yeah. Yeah. These are the bad climate deniers.
Yes.
Climate change deniers. JD, because he was able to show the trailer of Blue, well, someone came up to him and said, we would like you to do a documentary on the Great Barrier Reef. Because people are hearing, and we have been hearing for many years, that the reefs are dying because of scuba diving and boats, and people who live and are around the area are saying that is not true. But, of course, the media has a hold of everything these days, everything Agenda 21. And so, anyway, they're skipping out for right now on the wildfires, which is too bad for us, but at the same time, possibly covering the Great Barrier Reef story, which would be what an exciting project that would be.
Well, that would be
to be the film crew.
Jeez. Yeah,
yeah, no kidding. What a deal! And for those of you that would like to, you're like Blue Beats Green. I don't know anything about that. Go to the May 25th date in the We the People archives, wethepeopleradio.us, and that whole. I think there's got to be a trailer. Let me actually look at the page before I lie. It was the second half of the program, and Robert has the archive split, so you can just listen to that part. And, yeah, there's the trailer is on there and all the rest of the good information about JD. There's also the Crying Wolf Facebook page is on there and links to the film. And the Crying Wolf movie was awesome. I mean, for a first...
It's on YouTube now. It's streaming on YouTube, the whole thing.
And for a... I mean, really, honestly, and there's a link to that, too, on that page. Oh, there's also a link. Of course we did. There's a link to Wolves in Government Clothing. That's a really good one that David Spady did. And then The Real Wolf by Ted Lyon. The video for that is on there. And then Jim Beers also. So there's a whole segment on wolves on that May 25th archive page. So Robert's been a busy bee updating all this stuff. So
I had a fella come in the other day from Idaho that was talking about the wolves and pretty much everything that we've been told is true. I mean, he was he didn't know anything about Ted Lyon's book, and I gave him that information. But he confirmed that it's bad. I mean, they're eating everything they can get their lips around back there. It's really a bad deal.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, hey, did they have a cheese fountain at the wedding?
No, they didn't.
God, wouldn't that make sense, though?
Yeah, sure.
Can't have, like, pepper jack, though, because little pieces get stuck and piled up.
Bill, you just get funnier and funnier. My mom, you know, we've listened when I'm at the ranch. We listened to your show because I remember, oh, my gosh, Aaron's show. We should start calling it Aaron and Bill's show. And Bob. Can't forget Bob. And, the last show was with, who was the show? Oh, the gentleman who was talking about the U.S. Constitution.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Wow. Like
Hopkins.
Which one?
Oh, no. Recently. Shoot. he has like a founding father
Hamilton,
name kind of thing.
John Hancock.
John
last
Hancock.
Week.
There you go.
Yeah, John Hancock.
We thought after all these years we should have a founder on.
So when we were listening to the show from the ranch, my mom's like, "That Bill, he is just so good on this show."
That Bill.
So anyway,
that Bill.
That Bill. And he's so consistent, which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shows up. He shows up every Sunday when I bring him.
Just pull my string.
He shows up every Sunday when I bring him.
Yeah.
Get in the car, Bill. Oh, going there.
Get in the car.
And whatever.
Whatever time we pull
I just
it off.
I hope we're not too disappointing on Carl's show in a couple of weeks, because Carl has a pretty straight-laced show, and it's pretty insightful, and, you know, he covers some pretty broad topics. But, I don't know, we kind of horse around a little bit, and it might throw the audience off.
Horsing around is good. It's good for people.
It is.
Can't be too serious. Get all grumpy. Speaking of which, you know, the environmental crowd, they have no sense of humor. None.
No.
None. It's stunning. I was reading some hate-filled article about it was actually about a guy who was talking about the volcanoes and how much CO2 is put off by the volcanoes, and how much he actually had measured, you know, how much of our, you know, stupid CARB regulations and all that, how much of that went out the window every time one of those volcanoes erupted. And of course, someone else was completely angry and frustrated that he brought that up. It doesn't mean anything.
No, just like the forest fires, they don't pollute the air. But
doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'm sure, just like Jerry Brown linked illegal immigration to man-made global warming, I'm sure that they're linking volcanoes and natural disasters to man-made anthropogenic global warming as well.
You said anthropogenic, and Bill's like, Bill's just sitting there giving me a blank stare.
It's like, what?
Anthro what?
Anthropogenic is above my pay grade.
Well, you should. We all need to get used to hearing all about it, because this agenda is not stopping anytime soon.
Well, you know, speaking of water shortage,
We weren't actually talking.
Oh,
okay.
Oh. I was segueing. That was kind of rough, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they had that big water pipe that broke down in L.A. Last week. And I was listening to that story, and apparently the pipe that broke was actually installed back in the 1920s, and nobody had even thought about, you know, inspecting or upgrading or, you know, taking a look at these pipes until now. And so they, you know, they fixed this thing. I forget how many millions of gallons of water this thing belched out before they got it shut off. But
just what we needed in the middle of a drought.
Yeah, in the middle of a drought. Yeah, they dumped all this water. And they did some checking, and I guess Orange County, their pipes were also installed back in the 1920s, and so now there's a big concern about how they're going to pay to fix all this infrastructure, and I guess some of the pipes they have back there are actually made of brick.
Well, it came out this week on that
lovely
story that some of the pipes in the infrastructure in Los Angeles are as much as 200 years old.
Don't worry, just leave them alone. I mean, it's not like an earthquake or anything is going to bother them. Just, you know, leave them alone until they break, and then we'll worry about it then.
Yeah, and then we'll just get more water from Northern California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were going to talk about the water bond a little bit. We're going to talk about some stuff. But we need to take a really quick break.
Oh, is that a roll?
I know you were. I know. I felt you. You were
going. I was going there.
Yeah, hold that.
Okay, I'll hold
that. Otherwise, I'll hold
my water.
I know how that goes. We'll have all the breaks all at the same time. So, I don't know, Bob, are you ready? Did I jump the gun?
Oh, no, I've...
Yeah, you have to actually talk to me.
Sorry, I was trying to multitask here.
He was over there giving me telepathic messages.
We were supposed to have music, and we didn't. I was trying to figure out why.
Oh, we do now. Nice.
So there we go.
Okay, we really will now be back in just a couple minutes. You are listening to We the People. God forbid that you'd ever try to listen to anything serious on Sunday morning.
What shall we do about them? Move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good.
soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Jones's Fort, Reading's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Reading's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Reading area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find a gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
The Veterans Resource Center and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers is having a fundraising trap shoot at the Reading Gun Club on Sunday, August 10th from 7 a.m. to noon. Cost is $35 per person, including breakfast and a box of shells. All proceeds go to helping veterans with housing and special needs. To purchase tickets or sponsor a participant, please contact us at 223-3211 or drop by the Veterans Resource Center at 153 Hartnell Suite 100. Help us help those who served.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Let me say now, I don't know. I don't know where I'm gonna go when the ball can't go.
Ground, she's moving under me. Tidal waves out on.
That'll be the next thing we'll have is a volcano. We got fires, floods, man-made.
Somebody was saying in the chat room that that the webcam, hold on, what did he say? The Allen SETI array at Hat Creek has a webcam, but it shut off last night after showing the fire coming over the mountain. Yikes. Wondered dun, if the array dun, was there dun, or dun, destroyed.
Yeah, it's probably...
And then he sent me a link that we can go to. I haven't done that yet.
Shows smoke.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, Debbie. So when you went to the when you went to the climate denier, when you went to the normal people, you know what do you call it? The normal people conference on climate stuff.
No,
climate
JD change. Did.
Oh, he. Did.
I didn't. I was going to, and then I decided to do blackberry cutting at the ranch, so I didn't make it.
So he was in good company when he went then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, good people who were there and people who want the truth to be told. So, yeah, I missed out. And Craig Rucker was there, who hopefully will be a guest soon. And some other people in blue were there.
Yeah, the C-Fact guy, huh? Craig Rucker?
Yeah, C-Fact. Yes, and I was with Craig Rucker and Lord Monckton and Mark Morano of Climate Depot in when I went to the Rio Earth Summit. And those guys are a hoot. They are fun to be around. So JD's been kind of not palling around, but just, you know, becoming colleagues with these people because JD wants the truth out there too. Thank goodness we have some young people who are awakening and hopping on board to help us, you know, prevent the happy utopia that will be total monitoring, controlling, and surveilling of all human activity under Agenda 21. But before we change subjects, I wanted to go back to
what are you
UCLA.
Saying, Debbie? We jump around, like, or what?
Bill, you mentioned UCLA and the flood. I put a link, or Robert put a link, on today's page about Welcome to UCLA Sustainability. And they even have a flood link. But I had to read this, and Bill, thank you for talking about UCLA and their water break. Here's what their sustainability, which we all know is Agenda 21, webpage says. UCLA is a living laboratory. And remember, Janet Napolitano is now responsible for all the UC system.
Oh, yeah.
And Janet, yep. And
very well qualified for that job.
UCLA is a living laboratory for climate and sustainability research where undergraduate, graduate, and professional students engage with staff and faculty to pilot new technologies and policies on the university campus. You can hear straight from our students doing applied research on campus on the Action Research Team blog. With over 25 research centers focused on sustainability, UCLA is creating the technology and training the leaders of tomorrow while leading by example in our own operations. Visit the Our Initiatives page to learn more about all our exciting programs and the Get Involved page to learn how you can participate and check for the latest news. Breaking news, UCLA announces Grand Challenge in Sustainability, major university-wide initiative focused on getting Los Angeles to 100% renewable energy and 100% local water by 2050. I think they already took care of the water question.
Yeah, they solved that water problem. Canoes, anyone?
Those are like those Leland Yee press releases that they should have taken off his website.
Here, kid, have
okay,
a paddle.
That's funny.
Let's push that back to 2100.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that so funny, though? I mean, I would love to call. And you know who also is a professor at UCLA is Mary Nichols of CARB.
Oh, boy.
Who's in charge of our cap and trade program, who is also a board member of Environment Now. And Environment Now has given the Karuk Tribe or Klamath Riverkeepers $25,000 for administrative costs, aka dam removal. And Mary Nichols and UCLA is also the school where remember your guest, Dr. Jem Enstrom.
Oh yeah,
who is the whistleblower on diesel particulate matter and the EPA study, wasn't it the EPA study, Aaron, where they stuck people in a room, a small room, with a tailpipe of a diesel truck, and the people got sick, so now the American Cancer Society, as well as the EPA and other groups are saying, oh, diesel particulates and trucks are causing so much pollution that people are dying and kids are getting asthma, therefore California must have filters. Which is going to destroy 44,000 small businesses.
He's also the one though that that started the well. I don't know. I shouldn't say started because I don't know that, but was a big proponent of moving secondhand smoke away from people. you know, that secondhand smoke was hurting everybody, blah, blah, blah. All these regulations, you had to be a certain number of feet away from buildings and all that. And then through his research, he figured out, oh, wait a minute, secondhand smoke really doesn't have an impact on mortality. But he also discovered the one fun fact. I mean, not being a scientist, I let a lot of those fun facts go, but I do keep the ones that really strike me. And he had said that if you live in their research showed that if you live in California for 70 years, the amount of diesel particulate that you will take into your lungs will be the equivalent of smoking a half of a cigarette.
Having a hard time breathing already.
Less than one cigarette over a 70-year period. It's like, well, how big a crisis is this?
Yeah, but
really?
But you come out with that, and then they'll agree with it, but they're still not going to change their course.
Agree with it. No. They just pretend you didn't say it.
Yeah, but
now it's, you know, the precautionary rule.
Yeah,
and to tie this back into JD and Blue. Matt Malkin, we showed Blue while we were in UCLA, or while we were in Los Angeles earlier in the year, when Rosa Corey, or no, it was Michael Shaw, Heather Goss, Mike Munzine, Matt, who else was there? Myself and a few others. We did the first Globalization of California Forum in LA, and we had JD fly out so he could show the first big viewing showing in LA, and he was very excited about that, of Blue. And another professor besides Dr. Enstrom showed up to see the premiere of Blue, and his name is Matt Malkin. He's a tenured professor at UCLA. So unlike Dr. Enstrom, Matt Malkin, who's speaking out against CARB and also the American Cancer Society in support of Dr. Enstrom being fired as a 32-year UCLA professor. Malkin is tenured, and because he's been very quiet about his political views up until now, but Dr. Enstrom has always been outspoken and never got tenured and therefore can get fired. So anyway, I hope I tied that whole
thing. Well, you know, it's funny. You know, we laugh about this stuff they're teaching down there at UCLA with all the sustainability and all this other crap, and you can't say crap on the radio. But
Elizabeth taught us that.
Yeah, I know.
That was her gift to us.
I was reading the other day, one of the problems they're having with a lot of these college students today is the things they're learning in college when they get out, like the sustainability and all this other stuff, there's no way for them to apply this when they get out. There's no jobs. They can't find jobs. And so
major in something stupid,
they major in all this stuff, and then they come out with these big degrees in sustainability and all this
ecosystems and biodiversity.
And then they run out. Yeah, they run out with their degree, and they end up, you know, checking groceries because they cannot apply anything that they've learned. And then when they do get jobs, a lot of times they have to take jobs that aren't, you know, in their field.
A lot of them aren't qualified to work. Although
they're not qualified to work, they don't know how. And they were. This article was about the labor pool is shifting now back to people 50 years old and older are who employers are looking for now that don't necessarily have these big college degrees because they know these people have some work experience and work ethic that can actually be applied.
They figured out how to feed themselves.
Well, thank goodness for the four of us.
Yeah, no fooling. That made me feel better.
At the 50 or nearing the 50 age, right?
Yeah, I'm almost there.
I'll have a job again.
Hey, you know what? I can sum it all up for you. Age and treachery will overcome youth and skill. Huh?
Yeah.
There you go. We got it. Hey, we've got to take a really quick break, actually. And we'll be back in 2 minutes. I was just looking at the quote on the webpage. People need to hop on there. WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll be right back.
Bam,
this song.
Bam, bam, bam. It's my air lips. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Testing one, too. Oh, my gosh.
It's Bill on air guitar.
We
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, folks, you know where your swap and sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
It's the Back to School Resource Expo at the Mount Shasta Mall, August 9th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Featuring programs for children, including sports, drama, robotics, martial arts, voice, dance, art, gymnastics, tutoring, and 4-H, fashion tips, makeup options, hair braiding bar, nutrition, health, and exercise programs, so much more. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me as we broadcast live from Center Court at 12 o'clock noon on August 9th. We'll have fun giveaways from Sephora, Zoe's Travel, Turtle Bay Family Passes, and an appearance by CHP's Chipper, and the best back-to-school tips. Then head on over to the back-to-school fashion show at 1 o'clock in front of Macy's. It's the Back-to-School Resource Expo August 9th at the Mount Shasta Mall from 10 to 6 p.m. See you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Now I'm knee-deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise.
Life at UCLA. The new theme song. Yeah. Waves are coming in.
Yep, they got their new kind of paradise right there.
Exactly. So you're listening to...
an umbrella on a beach chair.
We're listening to Bill, actually. Yeah. No.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. We're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR. Phone number here is 530-605-4567, although we have hogged up the phone line, so, you know, don't call, but I don't say I didn't give you the number. So
you can call, but you won't get through.
Yeah, all of our lines are backed up right now.
We're like Hotel California. Everybody gets in, but they can't get out. So we have Congressman LaMalfa on the phone. Do we not?
Right here.
Greetings.
Good morning.
This is me.
Bill was making some crack about you being on vacation this month.
Yeah.
I already slapped him down.
I know how your vacations go.
For me, right?
Yeah.
I already slapped him down.
Yeah, I would invite anybody, Doug, to jump in your car with you while you're on vacation and see how long they can keep up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're going to take some days here and there. And, you know, I think at some level, don't people want Congress just to stay away for a while? But,
well, that's what I think. It's like, yeah, you do represent the people here, and at some point you need to be here. So what do? They call it vacation. Unbelievable.
Well, it's you know, it's always fun to make fun of the entirety of Congress there, and individuals are also caught in that riptide too. So, you know, if we couldn't handle it, we wouldn't be in the business, right?
There you go.
There you have
it. So whatever happened with the immigration thing at the end? Nothing, right? Are we all good with that?
Well, that was pretty big news. We looked like it was an impasse on Thursday afternoon about 2 p.m. or so that we weren't going to get anything worked out. The Senate has their terrible bill, which is a lot closer to being an amnesty bill than what the House is going to tolerate. So we've never intended to take that up. So what we finally boiled down to is, what are we going to do about this media crisis and not having had the votes lined up again about 2 p.m. on Thursday? There was a little bunch of us were right on the floor there, gathered around the speaker there, saying we can't go home today without doing this. And so we stayed and called a conference meeting right at 3 p.m. and went in and really hashed it out, and it was one of the most productive and honest debates I think we'd had in a long time. And so we really committed during that next 24 hours to put some, put some changes. It really just needed a few tweaks to get everybody in the conference, I'm talking the Republican conference, comfortable to be able to put this out. And so some minor language changes, some definitions on what it was going to mean with what the detention centers would be, what they'd be up to, quickly it would be. Whoever's coming across the border, I mean, we already have the problem now. The barn doors, the gate's already been left open. And so the difference is, are we going to just take all these kids and people and disperse them through the different states like the president's doing now without even notifying the governors or the state officials that they're coming, like 1,000 up, I think, in the Boston area, and they're scattering about Indiana. Let's at the very least keep them in that border zone with the type of facilities, whether it's tents or whatever it is, and get them processed under the 2008 law, which is still empowered in this. And we also, in this legislation I'll talk about later, but changed the 2008 law, and it's all, of course, contingent on the Senate doing something. But that said, we've taken the steps. We want to have those hearings immediately and push them back across the border where they're not eligible or there isn't that need. Also, the 2008 law that having to do with people seeking asylum has been interpreted very loosely by the administration, as we've seen with about everything else.
Yeah.
But, we put language in to very narrowly define that to where they can't use that as an excuse to keep the borders open. But, it still boils down to there's a lot of out-of-control executive powers being exercised by this president that, we have under our separation of powers over, under what the House or the Senate is allowed to do, we are somewhat limited. So, but we did take a big swing at it and were successful with a vote Friday evening that I think was the right step.
Well, just to give people some perspective, give all of us some perspective, what the heck do they say about having all these kids? And we all know they're not little kids. Percentage are little kids, but a lot of them are older, a lot older than people would like to admit. What do the Democrats think we're going to do with all these people if we just let them in and just, do they think our social safety net can handle all these folks? What happens to the people that were poor already?
They don't seem to care. I mean, I'm not trying to be biased or partisan or anything in this.
Well, I'm kind of asking you a biased question, I guess.
They don't seem to care what the other half of that solution is. They just play the card of compassion, or we got to care about these kids and all that, and sure, that hits all the heartstrings. But there has to be a practical, how do you do this? And what they're basically saying is that we're just going to keep taking an eraser a little more and a little more to the border each time, and we really won't have any control. And so it's very frustrating because it's not an honest debate. That's when I was on with Carl on Friday. I said, folks, you got to tune into C-SPAN later today and to see what the debate sounds like, if there is any logic coming from the other side of the aisle. And a piece you need to look for, too, is one of my colleagues, he's a pretty, calm guy or polite guy. His name is Representative Tom Marino from Pennsylvania. He was speaking on the floor just pretty shortly before the vote Friday. And Mrs. Pelosi didn't like what he had to say. And so she came charging from over her side of the room in her white outfit, kind of like a white rhino, just coming over there with her finger pointing at him like, you don't accuse us of not taking an action. Which what he was saying was that the Democrats had control of the White House, the Senate, and the U.S. House for a two-year period. So they've been all fired up for a long time. We've got to do immigration reform. During that two-year period of time, they didn't do anything about it. That's what Mr. Marino was saying. So he pointed it out. She couldn't handle it. She came charging over to him while he was speaking on the microphone on national TV to the public, to the podium, to the House, and started getting in his face. And so,
what a gal!
And then she went across the room, came back again as soon as he was done. I thought, you know, someone needs to throw Tom a tranquilizer gun to stop this charge here, but I don't.
Well, how do you, you know, the one
where they're coming from.
The one I heard the other day that I really don't know how you combat this was, I forget the congressman's name that was saying it, but what it boiled down to was you just don't like Mexican children. I mean, that to me is you just can't have a debate with somebody that has that position. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, then I guess you have to apply the same thing to Honduran children, Guatemalan children, El Salvadoran children, because that's where it's all coming from. Of course, that isn't the argument. It's about.
But is that all they have? I mean, I guess that's what I'm saying.
Door open on your house, and anybody can run in and out all day long, or in your yard, or what have you, with really no check on who's coming in, and certainly what. Are they mixing with your kids, and what are they bringing?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that with your home, with your family. And so why wouldn't we do the same thing with the country? We have immigration laws. We have a protocol for who's coming across and why, and that's within our right. That's our responsibility.
No, you're absolutely right. We got to take
a quick
break.
We're out. We'll be back in 5 minutes. We've got some news for you.
Hang on, Doug. We'll be right back.
Maybe, maybe not. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The fighting continues in Gaza today. Israeli Ambassador to the U.S. Ron Dermer says Israel will not simply withdraw from Gaza until it's sure that Hamas has been neutralized.
What we don't want to see is us simply leaving and allowing Hamas to use the time to simply rearm thousands of rockets, more tunnels. We have to make sure that we have an effective mechanism to prevent Hamas from rearming and refueling its war machine.
He was a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press this morning. The Israeli military has confirmed it's redeploying along the Gaza border for what it calls a new phase in the operation. The head of an international mission to recover human remains from the wreckage of the Malaysian airline shoot down in eastern Ukraine is thanking the warring sides for allowing the mission to proceed. A team of 70 Dutch and Australian investigators recovered more remains at the site Saturday, despite clashes between pro-Russian separatist rebels and Ukrainian forces nearby. The Senate is out of town for the August recess, but when lawmakers come back, Majority Leader Harry Reid has a message for them. Here's SRN's Linda Kenyon.
Senator Reid says no more weekends off come September. Senator Reid's threat to keep the senators in town and working rather than jetting off to their home states has often been viewed as an idle one, but maybe not this time. Reid, who sets the schedule for the Senate, says September will be a short month and there's a lot to do, so that's that. The goal is for senators to work until September 23rd and then go home for several weeks so they can campaign for the midterm elections. Normally, the Senate comes in late on Mondays, works through Thursdays, and senators are home by Fridays. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Washington.
Long lines at water distribution centers in Toledo, Ohio. Residents told not to drink the tap water because of toxins in Lake Erie. The suspected cause is algae. 400,000 people are affected. This is SRN News.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now 1-800-299-2896. 1-800-299-2896. That's 1-800-299-2896.
An Afghan electoral official says that the auditing of results from the country's controversial presidential runoff election have resumed after a holiday break. A United Nations official says a number of requests from both sides have resulted in the recount. It's unclear how long it'll take, but probably weeks, as all 8 million votes cast in the June 14th election will have to be recounted. It's part of a deal struck by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry over fraud allegations. Officials and residents say militants with the Islamic State extremist group have seized two small towns in northern Iraq today after driving out Kurdish security forces. The governor, who fled the largely autonomous Kurdish region when the Islamic State group and allied Sunni militants rolled in, says that the cities of Zumar and Sinjar fell after fierce clashes that erupted the day before. Residents of the two towns, who spoke on condition of anonymity, confirmed all reports the Islamic group has carved out a self-styled caliphate in the large area. This is SRN News. It is a ship tied to two critical points in American history, 9/11 and the eve of the Revolutionary War.
Researchers say that a vessel unearthed 4 years ago at the World Trade Center site in Lower Manhattan was made from wood cut around the year 1773, 2 years before the start of the war and 3 years before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Scientists at Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory, writing in the July issue of the journal Tree Ring Research, said that the white oak in the ship's frame came from a Philadelphia-area forest and matched the material used to build the city's Independence Hall.
SRN's Gordon Griffin. Well, you might not want to buy this stuff at Christmas time. A fire official says a vat of eggnog flavoring exploded a laboratory in New Jersey this past week, injuring two workers minorly. It happened in Totowa. And WABC-TV says the workers were just starting on the new recipe when it somehow ignited and blew out the rear of the building. This is SRN News.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, we're back. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Shasta Redding. Huh, get that in there. We always forget. Alrighty. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Phone number 530-605-4567. Although the phone lines are full, but, you know, hey, that's why I didn't do anything. What else? Should we go back? Let's check in with Debbie.
We can't smoke eggnog during the breaks anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Stay away from the eggnog. Did you hear that?
Sounds,
yeah, blew up a building.
Sounds dangerous.
Eggnog flavoring.
Man.
Wow.
I know there was a reason I didn't drink that during the holidays.
Christmas is dangerous. Hey, and for those of you that we were looking for some fire updates earlier, actually there are some good articles. They're short, but they're on pieandpolitics.com if you want to know what's going on up in the Scott Valley area. And I'm looking at wonderground.com is showing the webcam up there with that array we were talking about. Had Joe on the chat room talking about that. Somebody's phone's ringing.
That's mine.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as there's someone to answer it. So anyway, if you want to check those, but we still don't have a big comprehensive fire update. So if anybody's got that, email it to me, Aaron@wethepeopleradio.us. That would be awesome. And okay, back to Wisconsin. Debbie, how are you doing over there?
I'm fine. That was great to hear about the immigration update, although it's very frustrating.
It is irritating. The Senate probably won't take it up. There are like 8 million bills that they'll just sit there. And so, yeah, you guys can all talk at the same time if you can hear each other. We can all four of us chat. You, Doug, me, Bill.
Hi, Congressman LaMalfa.
Well, hello.
Oh, there you go. Everybody's on.
Well, it was a long break. I did have to, you know, refresh.
Yeah, sorry about that. So,
No, I'm kidding. You have a bad time. You got to make money.
We do. That's super important.
So, okay. What do you think is going to happen on this bill you sent to the Senate? Is it just going to pile up with the rest of them that have gone over there, and they won't address or what?
Well, you know, the Senate has approximately 360 House bills that they're sitting on over there.
That's what I understand.
And the idea that they're going to not address them means, I wonder why we have a Senate, because, you know, we have it's a three-way system. You have the House, the Senate, and the White House. That's how you pass a piece of legislation. If they won't take up the bills that the House has sent over on any topic, including the ones that we just did this week. One of them was done on Thursday, was to send funding over to help Israel with Iron Dome. And, of course, the
the measure we were just talking about on DACA and the border funding for National Guard, which is a portion of that, the judicial portion, all that. That's going to be important that we take those up soon, because the president can't wait to get the pen out and say, well, Congress didn't do anything, and so I'm going to have to act. That's the excuse you keep hearing out of the White House. Well, the House has acted. We stayed and ground out something that we could agree with, at least on the Republican side. The Democrats were just spewing the usual stuff. But we got a responsible bill out that I think your listeners or people that care about the sovereignty of the country would say, you know, they took a pretty good stab at it and got it pretty right within this context. There's more to do longer term. We get all that, but we've had an intractable White House. So that said, the Senate needs to do their job. And they left town. They need to come back next week and take up this legislation, this and all the other sitting. I mean, they have, again, over 360 bills sitting in the file there. 40 of them are jobs-related, which means things like we could be empowering people to start building the Keystone Pipeline, do other things in energy, do other things that knock out barriers that people would start employing people again if they had confidence government was going to come in and penalize them. So do your job, Senate. So call your two California senators. If you're from another state, does the lady on the line, did I hear Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, Doug, I have a question for you about the illegal immigration.
Sure.
I keep reading articles, one recently, early this morning, about the feds. It's the headline is something like, the feds fly illegal immigrant children to Alaska. Now, and I don't know, it looks to be from a reliable source. How is it that that they're getting away with this kind of abuse of our borders?
It's executive action that seems to be allowing it. I don't know why the American public isn't even more up in arms than they are. A handful of it is, maybe most of it is, but that has to be felt in the election process, or lighting up the phone, you know, melting the phone lines and the fax lines and the email lines to these representatives that aren't telling them what their action is going to be to rectify it. So they could be, you know, we can't really verify it 100% until we get them in a hearing, but we understand they're going to just about every state. They're going to Massachusetts and Indiana, and they're trying to funnel them in through California down there at Marietta and San Diego and El Centro. They could be on planes to Alaska. They're talking about sending planes down into those Central American countries to pick them up first and then bring them. I mean, how absurd is this becoming? That's one thing that they've paid coyotes and rode on that train they call the Beast to come up and present themselves to our Border Patrol folks at the border, but now we're going to go pick them up. You know, it reminds me of Enterprise Rent-A-Car or something. It's just
absurd. Yeah, we pick you up.
The logic going on here. We want to rectify the situation, find out what we're going to do at the root. You know, maybe we can put resources into those countries to stop the drug lords and the production of drugs, and maybe that would take some of the pressure off. We wouldn't have the tons of cocaine and others that come into this country.
Well, I was talking to somebody yesterday.
What they're doing now is not going to help anything. It's going to overload our system of social service that's already at stretched the breaking point.
Well, I talked to somebody yesterday who thought if we just legalized drugs, it would stop this whole problem. You know, that's always the answer there.
Yeah, so if everybody's on marijuana or cocaine, which one are they going to be? Which ones can you tell are on that when you go to the emergency room or running the air traffic controller or the fire department or the police? Which ones are those ones that are going to be using it versus not? So, you know, if everybody complains about the drug war and all that, it's not winning. Well, we have to not only cut the supply but cut the demand on the U.S. side and keep the battle up.
True.
Well, one of the things that I'm starting to hear now, too, is a lot of most of the border problem that we have is obviously originating in Mexico, but I guess what I'm saying is Mexico is more and more acting like more of a hostile neighbor than an ally
of the United States. I mean, there's so many things that are going on that, that they're looking the other way.
That's an excellent point, and one I've been really crystallizing for me here lately. You know, we have trade agreements. We have different things.
Exactly.
So we do as a neighbor here, manufacturing that goes on down there. And so we have all that. We've had, you know, maybe a decent relationship for a lot of years. It seems under the last couple regimes, they don't seem to care anything about what their immigration is doing to this country or doing something to maybe make their own country more attractive to people staying there and increasing the employment opportunities that they could have there with a maybe even better trade agreement, you know. So,
well, don't you think there's some way that they can be reminded that the United States does a lot for Mexico, and it's just like this Marine that they're holding down there now. They've got him in a prison, and you know that is so wrong on so many levels.
When he was on the phone with the Mexican president or even our governor of California when they were running around down there, and some of our legislators, you know, I think the Democrats made a little pilgrimage down there, that they could have brought that subject up, just the simple one of the Marine. And do you think the president could take a stand, say, you know, anyway, on this whole subject matter you're bringing up is, I think we need to reevaluate our relationship with the country of Mexico.
And oh, I think we do.
Do we really want to have the border access, the trade access that they're doing when they're allowing the Central American people to just pass through almost unscathed, or even maybe taking a cut off of it from the coyotes that are allowing this or helping to make it happen?
Well, it's just turning into a one-way street.
Their own Mexican citizens that are coming across without documentation. If you and I were neighbors here and I was basically dumping people or things into your backyard, you wouldn't be very happy with a neighbor very long as your neighbor, right?
Correct.
So,
no, I think
the discussion is going to have to come to reevaluating that relationship and demanding a little better performance and a little more neighborly action.
Well, we've got all this, you're talking about all this global warming stuff and the stupid CARB restrictions and all those things. Now they've got, I haven't gotten the pictures yet, but up in Siskiyou County, right where Klamath Falls and Tule Lake and all that, in that area, they're building some kind of a switching station where you've got to offload cattle to put them in a California compliant truck, you know, for cattle, and they're offloading, you know, all the goods. And
well, they're building it where?
I guess it's up right on the border, up at Klamath Falls. And so there's this big switchover place. I guess it's kind of dangerous. That's what I've been.
Oh, it's because Oregon has different rules than.
Right. You can't bring, if you don't want to make your truck compliant, then it won't come into California. So you've got to have other trucks go fetch your stuff.
Well, it has to do, at least in some cases with Oregon, you're allowed triples, or you have a different axle configuration or maybe a weight configuration. Some of our areas, you can't take the longer 53-foot trailers, or even when I was in the state legislature, the NASCAR haulers, they had to do those are really long. They had to do a kind of a special waiver to allow them to come into the state, or ones like that. And then, you know, when they try and come up with solutions, such as over on Highway 101 somewhere above above Willits there. They've been trying to make an improvement there so cattle trucks could get through there. Well, there's some trees growing beside the road, so you have the tree sitters that are guarding those so they can improve the highway and make it a little wider to where truck traffic can go through. So people are actually having to stop and switch their type of trailers to one that makes it from the ones that are normally
Great.
No, so, but you can't.
I guess that must be what they're.
That's what they're doing up there on the border.
Yeah, but I think what you're talking about there, Aaron, is the trucks that are not compliant with Air Resources Board in California aren't going to be compliant, and they can't very well make a rule to allow them to come in and deliver their freight and not allow California truck owners to do the same. I mean, you can't give them a waiver for that. I think that's just going to shut down the trucking in California. So, I mean, that's going to be a big problem.
Well, it's going to it jacks up the cost of everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, we were noticing yesterday in the grocery store, you know, a block of cheese was like $7.50 or $8 or something.
Groceries,
I mean,
are way up. You know, it's
that's
energy,
crazy.
It's regulations like that. And what you're talking about with California trucks don't burn significantly cleaner than the same age, same model of a truck from another state. They have similar equipment. The California equipment actually makes them burn more fuel in order just to keep the truck running. Even then, the engines have meltdowns after,
sure
after a while, so you're replacing engines. And they're still trying to iron out technology to try and fit the hoops that CARB is pushing them through. So it makes us uncompetitive, it makes price of everything worse, and it doesn't add a percentage point to clean air quality by the time you take all these into account. I mean, some of our, you know, even farm equipment where guys have you know, those hay squeezes that run up and down the highway, they can squeeze hay for a while, but because they have that add-on burner on there, they have to stop what they're doing at low speed and go drive up and down the road for about 20 minutes and cycle the engine through and burn the stuff out that's in the trap with the ill-working equipment they have on there. So who's that helping?
Yeah, provided it doesn't catch on fire.
CARB is ruling the roost right now. Jerry Brown, the Democrat-controlled legislature, they're happy with this. They haven't really done hardly anything to change it. Lately, there's even more regs coming down at the state level on cap and trade, where it's going to start socking fuel prices. And so you're going to see, if this rule is allowed to go through, 12 to 15 cents per gallon on fuel, not to help build the highways additionally for more funding for that. It's just going to be the cap and trade tax that's coming down pretty soon. And I think even some of the Democrats down there are starting to get the message that maybe this isn't a good idea. But they'll still push ahead, whether it's Cal, EPA, CARB, whoever. So you better be on top of that, too.
Oh, yeah. And you know, the good news is we may not have enough money to you know, build more water storage or fix, you know, 100-year-old water pipes. But we got money for that bullet train, so we're pushing forward. California's going to lead the way.
Bonds. They've already got that through.
I saw a court decision the other day supposedly allowed them to kick forward a little more on that. But
oh, yeah.
They still don't have the money, okay? We know
still
that
spending
the Fed have given them $3 billion. It's in escrow right now from the stimulus funds from back in 2009 or 10, whenever it was. We know that the voters, by a bare majority, 52-48, approved $10 billion worth of state bonds for something completely different than what they're building now. So they have $13 billion in their pocket that they can point to. The bullet train really will cost $100 billion to build as prescribed by Prop 1A. But they keep doing this smoke and mirrors tactic to say, oh, we got the money coming because now the state cap and trade, they're going to sock $250 million from that for this year. Then they hope the number goes up in following years, which still comes nowhere close to $100 billion when they only have 13.
No, but they're breaking
ground.
And
I love how they all of a sudden find more money hidden somewhere.
Well, there's a lot of the enviros are even upset over the cap and trade money being taken from there to put it into high cost rail, I call it, and instead of maybe other, you know, la-di-da cap and trade things that they wanted to do. So
yeah, like things we could actually use. All right, guys, we gotta take a really quick break.
One judge did stop that because there's several pieces of Prop 1A, the high-speed rail deal, that you have to show that you have the financing. They're doing the financing the same with the rest of the smoke and mirrors financing government seems to do. They don't have the money to even complete Jerry's downsized version, which he's claiming is only $68 billion. They're still $55 billion short of the $68 billion. Until they start socking things like this cap and trade fund, which comes about because they're requiring businesses that produce CO2 to now have to go to some auction that CARB or somebody holds. And you can bid at auction for the right to buy CO2 coupons to continue to run your business because you make CO2. And that includes things like cement plants and just about any larger industrial utilities, you know, they're going to have to pay for the right to continue to operate and make CO2. Well, everybody sitting on this phone call is making CO2 right now.
All right, and we're going to stop making CO2 for just 2 minutes and thank our advertisers.
We will be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. We are all blessed to live in such a beautiful and bountiful area of California. If your home was built before the early 1990s, chances are that many of your water-using fixtures in your home do not meet today's strict water-conserving codes or standards. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at www.wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Look for Wallner online or in the Smart Yellow Pages.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palisadro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92.
What the heck is going on in Alaska? I hear there's a little flack going on up there, Bob.
Well, we got the story from the Breitbart website. A spokesman for Health and Human Services confirming to Breitbart that as of July 7th, five unaccompanied minors were in fact released in Alaska. Now, the trip from McAllen, Texas, where the current border crisis is occurring, to Anchorage, Alaska, is a 9.5-hour flight. That's almost double the time it would take to fly the migrants back to their home countries in Central America. A flight from McAllen to El Salvador, for example, takes just over 5 hours.
Well, they're just not good on their geography. You can't blame them for that.
Just have a little snag there.
And our Fox News commentator that you hear weekdays on KCNR, Todd Starnes, he is also reporting some of the miners have been sent to Hawaii.
Holy cow. What a deal. What a deal. Boy, you know, if we could get out of the country, sneak back in, we'd get a trip to Hawaii, too.
Absolutely.
Nice. Okay, so we got a lot of different directions. I'm going to I'm going to go back to one thing on the page that we didn't highlight when Robert was talking to Debbie last night. They put this on here, and this is I think this is from nice water sounds.
Live from UCLA.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny.
The pipe.
We talked about the Agenda 21 calling for inventorying and monitoring programs, but the other part of it we left out, and it said, an agricultural world, quote-unquote agricultural world, in which most human beings are peasants, should be able to support 5 to 7 billion people. In contrast, the reasonable estimate for an industrialized world society at the present North American material standard of living would be 1 billion people. Huh. And then in red, it says dietary habits like those of Westerners lie at the root of many of our troubles. Well, aren't we just haters and we're horrible?
We are.
So this is the kind of stuff, this is part of the... Debbie, help me out. It says Equal Access to Justice Act on the bottom, but it doesn't tell me where this came from.
Oh, you know what? That is from the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report.
Okay.
And actually, that's from my PowerPoint presentation. And I put that in there. It's fact. That's actually right out of the Global Biodiversity, which is the United Nations Environment Program, the book that I call the Crook Book, that's about 1,147 pages, that says dams are unsustainable, roads, farms, ranches, paddocks, fences, everything that we touch and use is unsustainable. And why we put this slide in here is because we were going to talk about the Western Governors Association and the Western Governors Association ChatMap, which is crucial habitat assessment tool. But so that's why that's part of that one slide. When I go through Agenda 21, that is one of my slides. But that's in fact how they think, and this is why cap and trade, the shutdown of America, and the creating of the North American Union, which I believe is why our borders are being destroyed and ignored. When I was going to grad school, I was in an economic class with a Mexican student, and his name was Nick, and he gave a presentation on Mexico's economy and the government and the demographics. And what he said during his presentation, and this may tie into the illegal immigrants and the border, is, and this was shocking to me, and what he said was that by 2030, the year 2030, elementary school students to college students in Mexico are being educated, being taught that by 2030 there will be no borders between Mexico and the United States. So when you flood us with this kind of crisis, you know, it's the Clive and Piven rule, right? Bankrupt the system.
Sure,
break it down
so you can rebuild it. And I think that's exactly what they're doing. And we know under regionalism, which we've experienced in California already, the Bay Area, under the One Bay Area Plan, is the first official region in the United States into law by COGS, the Council of Government, the Association of Bay Area Government, BART, MTC, Metro Transportation Commission, and there's COGS all over the United States now. If someone looks up COG in their area, they're going to find a Council of Government, which we call shadow government, unelected, self-appointed. They might be elected. They might be a mayor on a COG. They might be a city council member, but they're unelected. We didn't vote for them to be on a COG, but they are the ones who are working with the government through, like, Federal Highway Transportation loans and money, and then implementing Agenda 21 in our local areas. And so anyway, eventually there will be no borders. We will be the North American Union, which Doug mentioned, Congressman mentioned, relationships between Mexico and how they should be getting better. Well, John Kerry, our U.S. ambassador had met recently with representatives from Mexico and Canada to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is to replace NAFTA. So they're still going forward with creating an economy between Canada, United States, and Mexico. So, you know, it's all perfect plan for them to create this, you know, one world kind of global governance system. And I think everything that we're experiencing today, and I know you all would agree, is heading in that direction.
Well, I think we're all really kind of missing the obvious move with these kids down on the border. You know, there's several cities that are proclaimed sanctuary cities. I think they should step up and take these kids. Just ship them to those sanctuary cities and let them take care of them.
I think Nancy Pelosi can house a few of them in her mansions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's Todd on the chat room has been putting on some good information about the EPA destroying all the coal fire plants. And he was saying in a recent issue of Natural News, citing the Real Science website, it was reported that what might be the largest scientific fraud ever uncovered, NASA and NOAA have been caught red-handed altering historical temperature data to produce a climate change narrative that defies reality.
Yeah.
And then his comment underneath was, what the Greens want most of all is a carbon tax. That is to say, a tax on CO2 emissions. It's one of the most baseless, destructive taxes that could be imposed on Americans.
But see, it doesn't matter if they catch them because they'll stand by that data anyway. You know, once they've made their ruling and then you find out that their data was faulty, they aren't going to change their minds. They're going to go ahead with it anyway. And that's the real crime.
Yeah, so when we talk about defunding, because that's what everybody says, let's defund them. Congressman, what are the choices on defunding?
Say that again, please.
What are the choices on defunding? You know, when we talk about the EPA and all this stuff, because there's a lot of talk about defunding all these people that are ruining our lives. How exactly is that going to work?
In recent appropriations, we've targeted specific areas, or I carried amendments on, you know, they can't use funds towards having EPA or Fish and Wildlife or others go out and harass growers, farmers, etc. on their land under Clean Water Act. They can't use funds to do that. But those are 1 year solutions on an appropriation process. We have a power over appropriations that year. We don't have a power to change the law if the Senate doesn't join us with that or the President doesn't sign that law. So we have, as you know, when we pass a budget and then we start doing the appropriations process, that's where we can do that. That's where I've put amendments in over the year to defund those areas. So,
and those are all sitting in Harry Reid's
desk. All this stuff is slow and methodical, and we're still taking in the breathtaking expansion of power this president is getting away with, and working towards that with such as the legislation early this week to give the House standing to sue this administration in court and snap their powers back to what it should be under the separation of powers, where the president, by executive orders, is doing so much, whether it's Obamacare or other areas of border insecurity, I'll call it. He's taken a breathtaking level of new powers that I think the founders didn't have in mind at all, and that Congress hasn't experienced yet. So we're scratching for solutions to do that, and a lot of times the courts seem to go along with those at a lesser level. So this is going to be a test in the Supreme Court, as you've seen in recent weeks. The president and Eric Holders and others have lost cases in the Supreme Court. Looking at the Hobby Lobby example and several others, they've been like 0-for-12 in Supreme Court cases here in the last year or so. That they're stretching beyond their powers has actually been recognized by the Supreme Court as going farther than that. But, you know, it's slow, it's deliberate. You know, we're highly frustrated with this IRS and Lois Lerner mess here, where she's been held in contempt. Now we're, you know, it's evidence search time. So there's the lost emails, the dog ate the emails. Well, it's starting to flow up here that some of them are available and that they're coming available. We've seen here in recent weeks that she's saying stuff that about how, you know, conservative people or Tea Party people or other groups are crazies and calling them names and all this stuff. Well, so this is going to come to a head pretty soon on the president's lawsuit, I think in September, as well as holding holding Lois Lerner accountable here.
Well, Doug,
September as well.
As
but
far
you got to have the evidence and behind it. Otherwise, you're arresting people, hauling them in, and you really don't have anything that'll stand up in court, as we see with innocent until proven guilty, right?
Well, what about Congress does have the ability to find Lois Lerner in contempt of court and have her arrested. Why hasn't Congress taken that step and actually had her arrested until she testifies?
I think that you need before you ask the question, you have to already have the answer. And so this email evidence and other evidence that's being sought and gathered, you want to have that already in hand before you get into court and you get a non-answer, because as I've watched and as we've all watched, whether I'm in committee listening to bureaucrats, I was in an ag committee the other day, that guy was, he was from Department of Labor. He was able to sidestep and roll around the questions for a full hour and a half. I finally had to go to a different committee, but it's amazing how the bureaucrats can just go back to their book of style and like the press does, and just throw these words, throw these answers out, and run out the clock. She'd be able to do that in court if we don't have the hard evidence to be able to put right at her on whether it's emails or other areas. So it takes time to build the case.
So do you believe we
don't? Do the arrest, I guess, underneath what authority the House does have, but we're not the law enforcement branch. It's supposed to be the executive branch, the Department of Justice, so we're very limited in that area.
So you don't believe that we have enough right now to take that step with Lois Lerner?
I'm not on that committee. I'm not in charge of that decision. But
okay.
From where I'm sitting on this, I believe they want to gather more and have more firm evidence in hand. I mean, you see, there's a lot of stuff out there. It looks maybe a little more anecdotal or it looks obvious, but to get a conviction, you want that. You don't want to start until you're ready with that more hard evidence. I mean, there's, in order to reach a conviction, it's got to be really firm. And right now, it looks terrible. It looks terrible with what's out there. But can you really pin it on these people until you have that backup evidence? And so them, shredding the paperwork or making the hard drives disappear, that's important to find. And you want to win the first time out and not misfire. So that's why it's slow.
I was listening to a podcast by Chris Ann Hall recently, and it was about the word shall. And the word shall in the Constitution was not that you may or may not do it. It was that you will do it. And the example she used, and this was talking about the Article 5 Constitution or the CONCON, whatever you want to name it. But she was saying that, and she was talking about Congress and how Congress changed already changed the rules for the Article 5 Constitution, that at this point, unless we consider nullification, there's no way we should be considering an Article 5 Constitution. It's just way too risky to the Constitution. But all of that to say, the example that she gave was Eric Holder, and how Eric Holder was held in contempt, and he, as a federal official and someone who is supposed to orchestrate the law and push the law and be acting on the law, should be a prime example of him getting fired. And he's not. And she was just saying that Congress is not following its duty on what it shall do under the Constitution. So, and I know you're only one congressman, Doug, and it's too bad we don't have more like you in Congress. And I couldn't imagine what it's like to feel like you're up against a whole heap of people who just are lawless. But I don't think we can expect anything from Lois Lerner from this case.
Well, I think what's frustrating to people is, and we've seen it time and time again, is we get these people on the ropes. It looks like something's going to happen, and then we end up, we have another crisis, and then the focus is totally shifted to something else, and then we never get back to, Fast and Furious. All these other things that have happened. It's like they just snowball, but the top of the snowball
is all you see. The rest of it's buried inside.
Yeah, it just looks like they dropped the ball and don't get back to it.
You'd be embarrassed or motivated by one crisis to try and get it done, and it seems that this bunch is happy to have multiple crises going. And if one gets a little too hot, you start another one over here. Like you get another shiny object. Hey, go look at this over here,
and it works.
No matter how silly it is, it might be something like the name of the Washington Redskins football club. They'll use that for a while. It could be about anything.
You know, disrespect, that's still not the word I'm looking for, but for the people who vote and elect and put these people in power, it's an insult when we are so overwhelmed with all these crises that for those of us who are really fighting and on the front line and like we all are, the people who we need to help us and step up to the plate where we have the masses, the tsunami going the other way, and we, the people, are standing up and coming together and saying, you will not do this to us anymore. They get overwhelmed. People at one point, they just go la, 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 and don't want to hear anymore.
They don't.
And so they just back off and go to their lives.
And then we see further
destruction of our Constitution and our freedoms and liberties.
Look at the State of Jefferson movement there, Debbie. And, it's as run over as the rural part of California. And almost doesn't matter. It's just northern counties or almost all rural counties in California. How long we've been getting run over by CARB and everything else. You still go to the average person in the supermarket like, oh, I don't think we should divide the state. It's at best in rural states or conservative counties. I mean, conservative rural counties. It's some cases barely 50% that people are going to feel that way. And so that, dividing the state, oh, that's controversial, all that. But I don't think anybody could look at the model of California and say that's working for rural California. The urban people, I've been in that legislature 8 years, and they look at you with a blank stare when you talk about how important mining is or timber.
Yeah,
or
they
building
just don't
water
get
supply.
It.
All the things used to be done in the old days to produce an economy, to produce things. And that's where an economy really comes from. It's people building and making things at the base level and how that ripples through the rest of the economy. If we don't build things in this country anymore, if we don't mine things, if we don't take this timber, instead we can watch it burn all summer,
what has to happen is more people need
to be fired up about this.
Mm-hmm.
I can do as much as I can. I'm not really that much different than anybody out here. I'm a person that believes strongly in Constitution, and I come from a farming background, and I've dedicated a chunk of my life to trying to help turn this around and battle for these things and not give in to go along, get along.
All right, guys, we've got to take a one final quick break.
I better leap off here anyway so I can get on with Sunday here, but thank you for having me on. You all keep hanging in there, too, okay?
Thanks for coming on with us. I mean, it's been lively.
Yeah, this was chatting Sunday. I mean, way too many topics, obviously, for the time allotted. But thanks a lot, Debbie.
So much to do.
Debbie, hang in and be thinking about what we want to blow the last 10 minutes on.
You bet.
Take care.
You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. And we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Redding. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
That Kitchen Place is Redding's go-to spot for all your cooking and baking accessory needs.
What Kitchen Place?
That Kitchen Place on Hilltop across from Best Buy.
Oh, That Kitchen Place. I've heard they've got cooking classes, too.
Only the best. This summer, you can check out classes like home cheese making, wild game cooking, and Italian soups with Chef Pam.
I'm in. Where is this place again?
That Kitchen Place at 975 Hilltop Drive.
What Kitchen Place?
That Kitchen Place.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Where were you born, man?
Huh? Where was I born?
That's right, I said, where were you born?
Hey, are you one of those dudes that do horoscopes, man? Hey, I'm a Cancer with a bad moon.
Right listen. Here, El Fago, watch my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East LA, man. I was born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy that used to be on Death Valley days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Next thing I know, I'm in a foreign land.
Well, you know, if you're going to talk about immigration, yeah. You gotta play that song. Oh my gosh. So, Debbie?
Yes.
Final thoughts?
Well, we put together a Facebook or a TeaPartyMedia.net page for this show, and so that I'll just go through and explain a couple things that we put on here. And, the title was environmental, mental being all caps, problems that we're having. And something that I went to recently is called the Western Governors Association. It was in Colorado Springs, and it included the governors of the Western United States. Of course, Jerry Brown wasn't there. These governors were, it was Governor Hickenlooper, I'm not going to remember all of them, Matt Mead from Hickenlooper from Colorado, Matt Mead from Wyoming, Governor Steve Bullock from Montana, Arizona. What's her name?
Jan Brewer.
Jan Brewer, yeah. And Governor Otter from, anyway, Western governors. And they created an association years ago, And this association was supposed to be good for the Western United States. I had been hearing more and more about the crucial habitat assessment tool, and there's a link on the page there. And the crucial or critical, whatever you want to call it, habitat assessment tool is like the Wildlands Project map, and it's state by state. So you can look at the, go on to the chat map is what it's called, and you can see layers of aquatic species, plant, fauna, flora, critical habitat, animals, anything about biodiversity. And each layer, you can see more and more where land, where the species is critical, according to these people, to the biodiversity of the land. And why I think it's important that we all look at that is because AB 2735, or 2785 it is, which is the California Essential Habitat Map, the connectivity, migration connectivity map, supported by Department of Transportation and California Fish and Wildlife. So they're now linking data. And in that slide that you were talking about earlier about the agriculture, and above that, I mentioned that it's about the chat map and monitoring and surveilling. And if you look at that slide, what it says is Agenda 21 calls for inventorying and monitoring programs. Given the increasing demands for information and reductions in research budgets, we must start to integrate and coordinate our inventorying and monitoring programs. And why I've started that is because when I heard about the critical habitat or crucial habitat assessment tool designed by our Western governors, all of them Republicans and Democrats, governors agree with this chat map, you could see that they're now starting to coordinate and the monitoring and surveilling programs to where they all have the same data. And when you look at California's chat map, you'll see that it links to the Fish and Wildlife website, and you can see that it links to AB 2785, which is to link all migration cores together and build transportation around that, build homes around the crucial habitat. And something that I've been doing a little bit of research with the Western governors. And by the way, at the conference, they talked about how they would be expecting massive wildfires this year. And I built up some bravery and asked a question to all the governors who were there in a press conference. They thought I was press. And I asked them, so if you're predicting all these wildfires at catastrophic levels, then why are some of your governors who have signed on to the Western Governors Association, like my governor, for dam removal, water storage removal? Don't we need more water? And Governor Matt Mead came up to me afterwards and said, that is an excellent question, and more people should be asking questions like you're asking. So anyway, I've been following up with the Western Governors Association, and recently I found, and I just want the viewers to help me do more research on the Western Governors, call them like I did and call them on the table with who they're partnering with. They are partnering with the United Nations, and they admit it in their website. The United Nations on UN.org admits it. The Stockholm Environment Institute, when you look at their partners, it's the United Nations, it's the Nature Conservancy, it is, Oregon Energy Trust, Rockefeller Foundation, Silent Spring Institute, the USEPA, the United Nations Environment Program, the United Nations Development Program, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, who's partnering with CARB, California Air Resource Board, on cap and trade. And then you see the World Bank, you see the Western Governors Association, you see the World Wildlife Fund. Anyway, they're all linking up, just as Agenda 21 called for, to cut down, like regionalism is supposed to, use all the resources as an area. I know we only have, a minute. So I wanted to point that out and ask people to start looking, watching the Western, call the governors, call the Western Governors Association and ask them. The latest thing that I talked to them about was something that they call the land swap. And what they're doing is trying to get rid of the checkerboard effect. And we all know what the checkerboard effect is. You've got checkerboard of acreage that's either private, state, or federally owned. And what they want to do is link, per what Western governors told me, link all federal land together, all state land together, and then I don't know what they're going to do with private land. And then the other thing that I want people to watch, why is California the pilot program? Well, because we're one of seven hot biodiversity spots in the world, and also our governor, Jerry Brown, and I don't think it's any mistake that he is the governor at this time. Back in 1992, when he was running for president, he was at the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, and just recently I found a video, and it's on this page. And you will see it's not been viewed by very many people, but you'll see Governor Brown as presidential candidate at the Earth Summit talking about we need to do something about the environment. We need control. We, you know, and it's, I'd love to see his whole speech. I haven't found that yet. And then the other thing that we have on there is a video called People and the Planet.
Uh-oh.
And on that video,
okay,
are we out of time?
Yep, hold that thought because we want to tell people where all this is. WeThePeopleRadio.us. So at WeThePeopleRadio.us, and then after at the end of the week, it'll rotate into the archive. But if you go there, you'll catch all these links. And you know that Western Governors chat, you know, map thing is that's stunning. Actually, we'll call it stunning.
Great.
Thanks, Miss Debbie.
You're welcome.
Are a veritable wealth of information. Thank you for hanging with us today when we kind of went off track there and had the congressman on, but it was fun anyway. Thanks a lot. Everybody in the fire country, be careful. See you next week. And Brad Dacus is coming up on Sovereign Minds. You guys are going to love it. Stick with him.
That's next on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
To get at Hamas rocket launchers and destroy terror tunnels. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is warning Hamas that no amount of outside pressure will make Israel stop its offensive until it's ready to do so. Recent figures indicate the economy is picking up. Stephen Moore, the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation, says this is good news, but he will take it with a grain of salt.
We've been fooled before, you know, under Obama, where we'd have these terrible, you know, periods, and then we'd get a quarter of positive growth, but then we'd just dip down again.
More to talk to the Salem Radio Network. Elsewhere, the biggest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history continues to wind its way through the courts. We get an update from SRN's Rich Thomason.
A trial to determine if Detroit exits bankruptcy has been delayed by a week.